I think it was just learning about all the different departments. When you are a legal person, I do feel that you are very much about your role, how you can add value to a company, your skills, what you can do. And I, to be honest, I don't really hear many conversations about lawyers learning so much about the other departments. And I think learning about other departments and, you know, just widening your knowledge in general is a huge advantage to have.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Crafty Show. I'm Ben White, and I'm the founder of Crafty Counsel. Today, I am joined by Sophia Gohier, a senior lawyer with Axiom, who many people know is an alternative legal services provider, otherwise known as an ALSP. What a mouthful that acronym is. We will be talking more about that during the podcast. But about Sophia. Sophia started her legal career as a paralegal in London before training as a solicitor at Vyman Solicitors. And then Sophia moved to Dubai with the Coca-Cola company, first working in legal operations and then subsequently in intellectual property and in trademarks. Sophia stayed in Dubai for a while, and she subsequently also worked, for example, as a legal counsel at UAE's largest real estate website, Property Finder, before moving back to London, where she has worked as a legal consultant, including 6 months as senior solicitor at Sport England. So a varied and interesting professional career in legal. Now, apart from Sophia's busy life as a consultant lawyer, she's also a trustee of Forget Me Not Children's Hospice. So today I'm going to be speaking with Sophia about her career journey, the highlights and challenges of working as a consultant lawyer, and the differences between working in Dubai and in London. So with that intro, I hope you're as excited as me. And Sophia, thank you. Thanks very much for coming on The Crafty Show.
Hi, Ben. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So Sophia, we always ask a few warm-up questions. So the first one, if you hadn't become a lawyer, what would you have done?
I think when I was younger, I wanted to be a journalist, but I'm glad I didn't pursue that avenue. And I think now I definitely want to do something more entrepreneurial. I think the goal would be to have my own business and all the challenges that come with that. So that's something that I would have liked to have done.
Do you think you still might do that?
Yes, I do, which I'll probably get onto a bit later, which is why Axiom works perfectly for me to be able to give me the opportunity to do that.
Nice. I'm glad to hear it. And this is sounding very familiar. I also had a phase of wanting to be a journalist. And then I became an entrepreneur after being a lawyer. So we should talk about that. So Sophia, what about question two? Are you a work from home or more of a work in an office type of person?
I think I do enjoy working from home. I think I get more done, but I do think that balance is healthy. I do miss the social interaction. My role currently is remote, but I do get very easily distracted in an office. In an ideal world, I would like to have a balance half and half, but yeah, I think all in all, I do prefer working from home.
And finally, for the warm-up questions, what about emojis? Do you use emojis professionally? And if you do, what is your favorite one, please?
Yes, I do use emojis. We have an instant chat at work, and mine is a smiley face. And I think the reason I use that is because people associate legal feedback being quite stern and abrupt. So I try and show it doesn't have to be, and it can be quite friendly. So anything I write, I always put a smiley face with it. But if it's outside the office, it's definitely the laughing emoji.
I like it. I think laughing emoji is probably my favorite as well. Somehow that seems to come up quite a bit. Okay, so Sophia, you're currently working via Axiom. And I suspect most people listening to this will have heard of Axiom. Some people will know quite a bit. Others will know not so much. And with these alternative legal services providers like Axiom who've sprung up, there are all sorts of different models if you're someone looking to work in a consultant freelance kind of way. Axiom is one of them. So I thought maybe we could kick off with you telling us a bit about what that looks like for you. So what is it and what sort of role are you doing and what does it feel like day to day?
Yeah, so Axiom, I started working with them last summer. I think it was August now. They're a very large company. I think they've got about 7,000 lawyers globally. So they're a non-traditional provider of legal services, and half of their clients are Fortune 100 companies, and they have a mixture of in-house lawyers and private practice. And the way they work is they match you as an individual up with your needs for what you're looking for from a work perspective. So in my instance, I wanted to work for a large corporation. I wanted to work remotely. Currently, I'm working 4 days a week. And I'm actually now a product lawyer as opposed to just a commercial in-house lawyer. And I work for Whirlpool and I work under them for KitchenAid. And so what's great about Axiom is the flexibility that I have. I work for them 4 days a week and then I have a day off where I can obviously do what I want to and pursue what I want to. And another brilliant aspect of this is the contract length. You can work 2 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, depending on your secondment time. Mine is currently for 1 year. So you're never really tied down to one company. You are obviously legally employed by Axiom, but then I think with that, you can obviously join lots of different secondments. The growth in your skills is fantastic. And yeah, you're not tied down to one company. So you've got so much flexibility there. And you meet lots of different people along the way, which, you know, for me is great. I've got more control over my working life and I've learned a lot more skill-wise, and you can perform more than one job. You can do other things outside your role as a lawyer, which I think is becoming more and more popular. Another one I think that I was considering joining before Axiom, actually, if I dare say it, is Lawyers on Demand, which is a very similar setup. So, yes.
Really interesting, Sophia. Thank you. I've got a couple of follow-up questions on that. One, to get a bit technical for a moment, but it is a bunch of lawyers who will be listening to this podcast. So one thing that I understand is a little bit different about Axiom, and that you alluded to, is that you're contracted by Axiom. So am I right in understanding you're employed by them, as opposed to, you know, some models you'd be, you know, a sort of, you'll be purely freelance. Some people maybe have their own services company, in fact. Are you able to talk a little bit about how that works?
Yes, so that's correct. I am employed by Axiom. And another great advantage of being employed by Axiom is they have a big support network. You have access to like Practical Legal, all these legal resources. You are designated a kind of a buddy, which is your manager, and you can speak to them once a week, once a month. You go to them for advice. They can act as kind of a halfway house between you and the company that you're seconded for. So you're not just kind of left to go on a secondment blindly with no support. They don't just kind of say, there you are, get on with it. They're always there in the background. They check in. They see if there are any, you know, things that you need help with. And so, yeah, it's fun. It's fantastic. Everything is set up for you.
It sounds ideal. I should say to those who might be wondering, this podcast is not sponsored by Axiom, but now I'm thinking maybe we missed a trick by not picking up the phone to them. It sounds great. I've got one more follow-up question on this, Sophia. What does it feel like? So when you mentioned that you're working as part of the Whirlpool legal team while being employed by Axiom, day to day, tell us a bit more about what that feeling is of emotionally, to what extent you're part of that team, for example.
Yeah, that's a question actually I asked myself when I started. Would I feel like an outsider when I joined Whirlpool on a secondment? And in fact, it's been really refreshing that it's the absolute opposite. They don't see you like that. There are lots of people obviously on secondments and you just get stuck in from day one and you are just viewed as a permanent employee. So there are no issues with that. And you start the role like you would with any new job. You do onboarding, you meet the team. Obviously, mine's remote. You speak to all the different departments, the heads, and you work as an in-house lawyer like you would do in any other organization. And there's no reference to Axiom whilst you are, you know, working on your secondment. So, yeah, I think it's worked out well so far.
Nice. Okay. I'm going to take you back a bit now in time, Sophia. So let's go back to the start of your career. You started as a paralegal in London, and that was actually during the great financial crisis. So what was that like, starting your career in the middle of all that going on?
That was actually, to be honest, tough. I actually had two jobs. I was paralegaling at an asset management company in central London. And then I was also paralegaling at a law firm in central London in Mayfair called Davenport Lions in the property department. I think during the financial crash, it was a really competitive time for anyone trying to secure a training contract. It was intense, obviously London, lots of long hours. And everyone is wanting to secure that contract, which obviously no one envisaged. No one teaches you how to survive that. For me, it was long hours. I had two jobs because I wanted the exposure. I think you had to kind of take any opportunity that you could. And yeah, it was a hard time. In the end, I did secure a training contract with another company. And I was really grateful that I had that opportunity because I know friends that didn't. But yeah, I'm glad I got through that because it was very challenging.
Okay, so you got through it, you did your training contract, and then you ended up making quite a big jump, both in sort of role and organization and location. So you went and did legal operations for Coca-Cola in Dubai. So how did that happen and what was that like?
Yes, so that was a fantastic opportunity. I obviously finished my training contract in London, which I was very happy to do so. My family actually split their time between the UAE, Dubai, and England. So I spent a lot of time in Dubai when I was younger. And during my gap year after my LPC, I spent a lot of time there, made a lot of friends. It's always somewhere that I wanted to work. I thought it was a great place. Everyone was really friendly. So after I finished my training contract, I really just went out on a whim and I blindly applied to lots of recruitment companies. And I think the one that I really connected with was a company called Michael Page. And one of their clients was Coca-Cola. And it took quite a few months to secure the role. And obviously they said, we have a legal in-house role with Coca-Cola. You know, how do you feel about applying? Obviously I thought, wow, what an amazing opportunity. Had I been back in London, I not to be negative, but I doubt I would have had that opportunity. And the UAE, obviously at that time, really favored Commonwealth educated young lawyers. And you know, I think probably a bit of it was luck. And working for a company like Coca-Cola, essentially you become an ambassador for the company. So they're looking for friendliness, nice personality, which obviously I hope I have. And I think it was just good timing. So to work for that organization so young, I think was one of my career highlights because I was exposed to so much. You have so many different departments there. I started in the Middle East region, and Pakistan and Israel, supporting them for a couple of years. And then I moved on to the Eurasia and Africa group, where I supported, I think it was about 56 territories. So the level of experience that I got so young was, you know, like on a very, very large scale. It was incredible. It was hard work. It was long hours, but I met some fantastic people who I'm still friends with. I got to travel. I went to Morocco, Greece. I was meant to go to Atlanta. And yeah, just learning about the setup of an organization, you don't get that exposure when you're on your LPC, when you're in your training contract. Not a lot of people went in-house that I knew of. I think on my LPC, there was one friend who did a training contract for Umbro. And besides that, there's not much kind of information, I guess, about training contracts in-house. And I hope that has changed. I believe it has changed. I think it's a fantastic place to start from a commercial point of view. And yeah, looking back, I'm so glad that I took that opportunity at Coke. It was a bit scary to do that because I didn't have many friends who had taken that step. A lot of people, you know, they qualify at their private practice firm and they stay there for a couple of years. So to go in-house was a risk, but I'm so glad that I did it and I haven't looked back. So, yeah.
You clearly liked in-house because you stayed doing that in Dubai for a while, right? For example, tell us about Property Finder. What was that and what was that role like?
Yes, I did stay in Dubai. I stayed actually for 10 years, so I must have liked it. Property Finder was a great experience. It was quite opposite to Coca-Cola in some senses because there was only two of us in the department. There was myself and the Deputy General Counsel, and I was legal counsel at that point. It started off as a startup. It's a prop tech company that's data-driven. relates to sales and residential transactions. It's based heavily on data. And I really enjoyed it. It was a young, techie, vibrant company. And what I enjoyed more about that role was I actually learned more from the people in the other departments, which I think is always great in any role. I used to sit with the engineers, the product team, the marketing team, the sales team, and you just learn so much just outside of your own skill set, which I think is very, very important. So I worked there for, was it about two years now? And yeah, it was a great experience. Everyone there was, you know, fantastic, very, very friendly. And yeah, I, actually myself and my deputy general counsel were nominated for Small Team of the Year for the Oath Award. So that's something great. And I think that was also great about the UAE, that you got a lot of exposure and networking because it's so small as a legal community over there. So I really, really enjoyed that. I think I learned more at Property Finder than I did at any other company that I've worked for.
And yet, you come back to London. Why did you do that? And how's the transition been coming back to the UK?
I'd wanted to move back for a long time. And I think it was all about timing. And then COVID happened, as it did for everyone. And my priorities, you know, completely changed. I think you hugely appreciate the comfort of your home country when the world, very unfortunately, you know, is in a lot of turmoil. I wanted to be back with my family and I was really ready for a new chapter. And I don't know if you recall, but they closed a lot of the airlines down. So a lot of people had to make very quick decisions. And luckily I made the right one and I moved back to England. And it was a great time to do that in settling back in. And yeah, I haven't looked back. So it's been really nice to be back.
So, Sophia, I was going to ask, and I'm going to ask how you find joy in your work and life. But first of all, I just want to say congratulations because I understand that you got married in the not too distant past.
Yes, I did. Thank you. I got married in December. Gosh, I can't believe we're already in February. But yes, I got married in December.
So, well, clearly that is a joyful moment. But let me ask then, how do you find joy professionally and personally?
I think I find joy when I have more balance, which sounds quite generic. But I think the reason for that is because I can apply myself better in my role. So if I have activities that I pursue outside of my job, I do perform better, which is why Axiom, I think, is great for me because I'm able to do that. And another way that I find joy is, I guess, really understanding a business and learning about it. The more connected I am with the company, the more fulfilled that I feel. I think especially because my role is remote, it's very easy to disconnect, close your laptop and just be like, that's the end of my day. But the more connected I am and with the people who work there, the more I feel fulfilled. And for me, that is an important part. If you're not fulfilled, then you don't feel like you're contributing much.
Okay, that sounds great. What about challenges? What's the biggest challenge that you face in your role?
I think even though I love the remote working aspect and it works for me, I think that's also a challenge because you really have to, one, rely heavily on technology. And you really have to work harder to engage with your team. You can't just walk around an office and ask people ad hoc questions. You have to like organize your diary, make sure that you're connecting with the right people about the right questions. And that takes more time and energy, especially if you're working on a complex project or a project that requires a lot of questions. You can't just take someone into a boardroom or just quickly bump into them in the corridor. You really have to sit with them and understand everything. And not being with someone actually in person and seeing their body language is also sometimes a bit difficult, especially as well. My company's global. There are lots of different languages. There are sometimes challenges with that. So that can be challenging.
Okay. And you mentioned tech and how essential that is when you're working remotely. Tell us more. Is tech making a big difference to how you do your job?
Yes, 100%. Without it, I wouldn't be able to, I think, speak to most of my team. I'm always on Zoom calls or Microsoft Teams and all the different softwares that are being implemented by the company currently involves, you know, it's very tech heavy to some degree. And without it, it would be very difficult. I think it would just be phone calls, etc. So yeah, I think, and it's just going to fast forward, and you know, I think we will more even heavily rely on tech.
Do you use any particular legal tech?
With the role that I'm in now, not a particular one. In the other companies I have, my role just really involves the legal drive per se, which isn't really, you know, a very techy kind of aspect of it. But yeah, I have in other roles.
What's the highlight of your in-house legal career journey so far?
I think, well, one would be doing this podcast because it's the first time I've done one. So that's one. Another one, I think it would be the nomination for the award in Dubai, the Oath Legal Awards. I think that was amazing. I think as a small team, you sometimes don't feel recognized, especially when you don't actively go out there and network and put your name out there. So that was really humbling, and I felt really grateful for that. And if I can throw one more in there, I guess it would definitely be my time at Coca-Cola, because that stuck with me throughout my whole career. And, you know, it's always a great company because it's so interesting to talk about.
That did sound like a really formative experience when you were explaining that earlier. You were clearly still so excited about having had that opportunity and what that meant in terms of your growth and your career.
Yes, definitely. I mean, there's so much that I could actually say about that. I think it was just learning about all the different departments. When you are a legal person, I do feel that you are very much about your role, how you can add value to a company, your skills, what you can do. And to be honest, I don't really hear many conversations about lawyers, I mean, it may be wrong, learning so much about the other departments. And I think learning about other departments and, you know, just widening your knowledge in general is a huge advantage to have. And I just think it creates more excitement in your day-to-day work. You know, we all know that sometimes legal sometimes can be not the most fascinating in some instances. And when you learn from different departments, I just think it makes your day, a lot more exciting, which I think we all need a bit of excitement when we work in legal.
Okay, Sophia, we've got just a few minutes before we wrap. Before we do, a couple of final questions. We always ask everyone, if there's one thing that you wish that the legal sector as a whole would either stop doing or start doing?
That's a really good question. I think the legal sector individuals should talk a bit more about the vulnerability of their roles. I think people don't really talk about that. I think because legal, you know, being a lawyer is such a hard job. There are lots of hard jobs out there, obviously, of course. And it's so competitive and everyone talks about all their wins. And I think, which is why I love Crafty Counsel, I think it's just so refreshing. And, you know, people should talk about the pitfalls and the challenges, because that's how we grow. And other people also feel assured. And there's not this kind of macho view that everyone has to be doing the right thing, because that's not real and that's not life. So I think it's nice to hear more vulnerable stories and just the experiences that people have had.
Why do you think we have vulnerability as in-house lawyers?
I guess relating back to myself, I trained in private practice, and you bill and you bring money in for the company. When you're an in-house lawyer, you're effectively a cost center. You're not at the forefront of the organization, you know, bringing clients, bringing money. It's other departments that take the lead. And I think from an ego perspective and a pride perspective, that can be quite hard. And I think the vulnerability is also that your role, you really have to kind of prove your worth as a department and as a skill set to add value to an organization, because it's not the most, sometimes some people don't view it as the most important. It's not the most critical if it's not bringing in money. You're not in the sales department. So I think there's a bit of vulnerability in that you really have to prove your worth. And I think that journey can be quite hard because it's such a wide journey. There's so many different skills to being a lawyer. For me, in-house isn't really 100% about the skill set. It's 50% about being a legal person, but with business solutions, which I think if you adapt that approach, then, you know, it's a positive one.
Thank you for sharing that so generously, Sophia. We wanted to ask you about advice. Is there any piece of advice that you've received during your career that you thought was particularly helpful and you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes, it was when I was actually paralegaling during the financial crash. My mentor, who I was working for at the time, said to me, in work, you should never assume. Never assume anything in your day-to-day tasks and always ask. So that has always stuck with me because I think even as individuals, not just lawyers, we can always assume what an answer might be. And it's very easy to do that. So yeah, that has really actually really helped me.
That's a great one. There's something really powerful when you just ask a question. And so often, for example, you're in a room, you can be relatively junior and everyone is thinking something or hoping it kind of works in a particular way or assumes it does. And if you just ask a question, can you just explain how this works, for example? It's amazing how powerful that can be.
Yes, definitely. Especially as well when you're remote working, it takes effort to ask a question. You have to actively go on and speak to someone. It's just easy to sit there and assume and get on with it. But 9 times out of 10, I found if I have done that, it hasn't worked out for me.
Before we wrap, you mentioned earlier this entrepreneurial bent that you have. Anything else that you care to share on that? Any plans that might be forming?
I have been actually in the past stopping and starting working on a beauty brand. It's something that I've always wanted to do. Obviously, it's very different to being a lawyer, but there's a lot of skills from being an in-house lawyer that are transferable. And it is something that I would really like to do. Obviously, the market is saturated in that respect. And it's something that I would like to achieve. And obviously, working the way that I do in my setup allows that. So it's an ongoing process. When I have the spare time, I work on that. I think it breaks up my day. It's fulfilling. I'm learning a lot, especially with social media. Launching a business on there is a whole new world. So yeah, the more free time I have, I would really like to pursue that. I think that is something definitely on my radar.
Okay. Well, I guess for all of us listening, it's watch this space.
Yes.
Sophia, thanks so much for sharing your story so generously. It's been a complete delight to have you on The Crafty Show.
Thank you, Ben. It's been so nice to speak with you. Thank you for having me.